Question was asked long ago, from heaven or from man? Let's look at that question today on Book, Chapter, and Verse.
Wonderful words, those wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.
Again, welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse, and I'm Jeff Archie. This is a program where we simply take the Word of God and look at it, book, chapter, and verse, as we study God's Word together. What a joy to open the precious book divine. By inspiration, it is given. Thank you for joining me again today. I'm honored that you would tune in and hope that we can make this time profitable for you. Stay with us because at the end of our broadcast, we will share with you our contact information so you can have material absolutely free to continue your study at home. Imagine, if you will, that in between our broadcast that you can take your Bible and some study material and learn more about the Word of God. Again, thanks for joining us today. Our book, chapter, and verse today will come from Matthew, the 21st chapter. We're going to be reading verses 23 through 27. So as you reach for your Bible to follow along, our book today is Matthew, our chapter is 21, our verses 23 through 27 of an event in the life of Christ. The scripture reads as follows. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or man? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people. For all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Now Jesus was not trying to evade the question. They actually came to him and were speaking to him. And Jesus said, Okay, you ask me a question, I'll ask you a question. And then he presented the baptism of John. Was it from heaven? Or was it from man? Now one would think that the chief priest and elders would know that this was the Christ. After all, they were individuals that would know the law, the prophets, the scriptures, as well as anyone. Nevertheless, a wonderful lesson is taught here. A lesson of authority. Jesus was asking the baptism of John, is it from heaven or is it of man? Is it man's thinking? Or is it God's thinking? Was the baptism of John something John just thought up? Or did he come as directed of God? Folks, we're in a day and age where authority seems to be disrespected. So many times there are questions about authority, but when you think about it, there's authority in everything. I like to use this illustration from time to time, presenting authority. I tell our teenagers that they can't wait till they can get out of the house so nobody tells them what to do. Here's the illustration I like to use. You grow up, you're there at the house, your mom and dad tells you what you should do. You say, I can't wait till I get out of this house. When you get out of the house, you go to college. You have professors, you have those that are taking care of the dorms. You're still going to have to respond to authority. Then you get out and you go to work. And when you go to work, you have a boss, you have supervisors, there's always authority. And then I look at the boys and girls and I say, and then you get married. And a pause. And those that have been married for a number of years, there's usually a little laughter from the audience. Folks, there's authority in everything. But today it's interesting, you know, the postmodernist will say, we cannot know. We don't know what authority is. Well, folks, that would turn into chaos. Liberalism will alter it. Humanism will adapt it per person. Atheism, there's no anchor there. So it's always interesting to pause for a moment and just ask, in a religious sense, who has the final authority in matters of religion? Let's see who has the final authority from the Bible. Now, I ask that question for this reason. If you were to line up, say, 10 doors representing 10 religious groups, or as people like to term it, 10 different faiths, and you were to knock on the door and just simply ask, who has the final authority? Folks, you might get as many answers as you would ask the question. In a world of confusion, in a world that is puzzled many times, is there some way we can clear through all that and look at the authority that is presented through the Word of God? Today, let's look at some areas of authority and let's simply ask the question, from heaven or from man? Let's go number one. The authority of Jesus Christ, is it of heaven or is it of man? Now, we're going to consider several texts very quickly here, so if you'll bear with me, I want to back up to Matthew, the 17th chapter, and look at verses 1 through 5, and consider, if you will, the transfiguration of Jesus. The Bible says, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. They were off by themselves. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Or, hear him. The voice from the cloud, no question, God, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. There's Moses. There's Elijah. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. How about the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23? Here is Peter preaching concerning Christ, and Peter simply goes back to the book of Deuteronomy, and he says something that Moses had said long ago. And actually, Moses is referring to Christ when he said, The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he says to you, and it shall be that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Again, that's Acts 3, 22 and 23. That those that will not hear the words of this prophet will be destroyed. Those that will not listen to Christ. Those that will not listen to his authority. Moses said, there's going to be one that's going to be raised up similar to me. But as we note back in the Transfiguration, Christ is the one to whom we listen and not Moses. I love to look at Hebrews 1, 22 and 23 concerning Christ. The Bible says, And hath put all things under his feet, and have given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus Christ, now the head of his church. And he is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. Transfigured before man, hear him. Moses, listen to that prophet the Lord will raise up. And also he is the head of the church. Sounds like authority, doesn't it? One more passage for your consideration. Hebrews chapter 1. Verses 1 through 3. God, who at various times and in various ways in time past, to the fathers by the prophets, or rather he spoke to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom or through whom also he made the worlds. That's Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. The Hebrew writer says God spoke to us in different ways and in different manners, but now he speaks to us through his Son. Now put all that together, dear friend, and what do we have? Well, You have Christ transfigured. Hear him. No longer hear Moses. No longer hear Elijah. Moses said, this is the prophet. This is the one you should be listening to rather than I. That day will come. Jesus, as prophet and priest and king, is the head of his church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And we listen to him today. How beautiful that is. We listen to Christ today. God has spoken unto us through his Son. So here's the question. The authority of Christ, is it of heaven or is it of man? No question. The authority of Christ is from heaven, from God Almighty, and places all authority within the Christ. Now let's bring up another question. Another from heaven or man question. Now that we see Christ's authority, how about the Word of Christ? Is it of heaven or is it of man? I take you to the Gospel of John chapter 12 and verse 48, where Jesus said, he that rejects me and receives not my words, he has one that will judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. Jesus goes on to say, for I have not spoken of my own authority or of my own self, but the Father which sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that his command is life everlasting. Therefore, whatsoever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Even as the Father hath said unto me, so I speak. So I understand that the Word of Christ is one that I need to think about. That it is the authority from God. If Christ has all authority, then there's no doubt that his Word is authority. Now today, isn't this a wonderful thing to know? That we will be judged by the Word of God? We're not going to be judged by thoughts of man or opinions. We're not going to be judged by feelings. We're not going to be judged by church manuals, church creeds, by our parents. We're not going to be judged by a declaration of a religious human body, if you will. But we're going to be judged by the Word of God. That we will understand God's will for our lives. And as Jesus Christ is the authority from God, the second question, the Word of God, from heaven or of man? The Word of God is from heaven, the Word of Christ. So what do you have? You have the authority of Christ given to him by God. His Word is authority. But may we ask a third question in the from heaven or man? The Holy Spirit to the apostles. Is it from heaven or is it from man? Now let's think about a couple of texts just very briefly. When Jesus prayed to the Father, in John 17, 8, he said, for I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Jesus said, I have given them, the apostles, the words that you've given me. Now, that builds with what we've talked about. The authority from God, the authority of Christ, and the words of Christ. And he said, they have received them. They know that I came from you, Father. The apostles knew that Jesus Christ came from the Father. But earlier in John 14, as well as John 15 and John 16, Jesus was teaching his apostles. When he said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatsoever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Although Jesus had given them the words, there were a lot of things the apostles didn't understand. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth would come, he'll guide you into all truth. Now, he's not going to speak on his authority. He is going to speak on the authority given of God as God would guide him and as the authority of Christ who would depart from the earth. Jesus let his apostles know in that long conversation of John 14, 15, and 16, the Comforter will come. He will guide you. He will help you into all truth. Brother Robert Taylor is a preacher friend of mine who termed it this way. The Spirit is not a creator of truth. The Spirit is a conveyor of truth. I love that thought. Now, let's see what happened when the Spirit guided those apostles. Consider with me, if you will, Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, we find where the Spirit came upon the apostles, and they began to teach and preach the gospel to where every man heard them in the language wherein they were born. This was not what some think today as a tongue speaking, to where it's unintelligible or hard to understand, and it's so many times folks would call it a gibberish. And I'm trying to be kind, folks. I'm just expressing viewpoints of others. Did you know when tongues were spoken in the New Testament, they were actually literal languages? That people could hear the gospel in their own language. They had come from every nation under heaven in Acts 2. And they even acknowledged, we're hearing this in the language wherein we were born. Listen, if you will, now as we think about the Holy Spirit to the apostles, from heaven or man. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Paul tells Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's hinge on to that from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Where Peter says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Oh no. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So here's our question. The Holy Spirit to the apostles, is it from heaven or is it from man? No question. It is of heaven. It is of God. Now do you see how this has gone? From the authority of God to the authority of Christ to the Word of Christ. And then as Christ left, through the Spirit to the apostles, holy men of God preached it, and we have it in written form so we know God's will for our lives. Now, one more to heaven or to man question. How about respect for His all-authoritative Word? Is that from heaven or is that from man? Very quickly. In 2 John 9:11, we are reminded that no additions should be made to the Word of God. John said, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bids him Godspeeds or greets him in the best shares in his evil deeds. God forbid that should be the case. So there are no additions to be made to the Word of God. There are also no subtractions or substitutions. In Matthew 15:9, Jesus said, for in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You see, God's Word is not to be added to, nor is it to be taken away. That was an exhortation and a command in Revelation 22, 18 and 19. If anybody would take away from the words of the prophecy of that book, God would take away from him his right in the book of life. He would remove him from the book. He said, anybody that would add to these words, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And that principle is true all through the Bible. I think, for example, going back to the Old Testament, you know, the things in the Old Testament, according to Paul in Romans 15:4, are written for our learning. And through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. I want you to think with me for just a moment. Consider this with me. Take Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. Adam and Eve were commanded to partake of any tree of the garden except one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan beguiled Eve. He tricked Eve. He was crafty. And he said, "You shall not surely die." Eve looked at the tree, saw it was good for food. She took it. She ate it. She gave it to Adam. He accepted. He ate it. Now, God expected authority and expected authority to be respected. And when they did not respect His authority, God cast them out of the garden. How about in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, with Nadab and Abihu, priests of God, who offered up a strange fire on the altar? The fire came back and consumed them. They could probably simply say, "Well, fire is fire. It really doesn't matter." But God commanded them. And here's the thing. They knew what to offer, and they chose not to. As we think about this, sometimes people will say, "Well, I can't believe God's like that. Well, I thought God was a God of love." Well, God is love. 1 John 4:8. God sent His only begotten Son into the world. But as we could see God's authority, God expects respect for His authority. God expects man to have that respect for His authority. Listen to Romans 11:22. "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off." You see, Paul talks about the goodness and the severity of God. When I think of growing up, where I lived growing up with my mom and dad, I saw their goodness so much. But there were times there were severity. And that severity was because of my disobedience. When I respected their authority and embraced them, loved them, and obeyed them, life was good. But not. There had to be correction. Okay. For book, chapter, and verse, what have we gained today? The authority of God from heaven or of man? From heaven. The authority of Christ from heaven or of man? From heaven. The authority of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, from heaven or man? Heaven. Respect for His ultimate authority, from heaven or of man? From heaven. When we open up the Bible and look at book, chapter, and verse, we should have respect for God's authority. Embrace each word, knowing that His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Psalm 119, 105. As we think on these things today, let's consider God's authority through the Word of what one should do to become a Christian. I submit to you the importance of hearing and understanding in the time of Christ. Matthew 15:10 is just as important today. To hear the Word of God, for our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. If faith comes by hearing, then I understand without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. When I believe in God, then I want the best for my life, and I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity of repentance. Jesus commanded repentance in Luke 13:3. "Nay, I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." To confess Christ, to simply say that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts chapter 8, verse 37, and then, just like that eunuch and countless others, I can be baptized into Christ for the remission of my sins, Acts 2, verse 38, washing all those sins away, Acts 22, 16, and I can be added to the church that I read of in the New Testament, Acts 2 and verse 47. That's the church with the authority. Then I can begin a faithful walk for my Lord. What a great study today. Let's enjoy a hymn together.
Son of my soul, thou Savior dear, it is not I.
the authority of God, the authority of Christ, the authority of the Spirit in revealing the Word of God, the authority God has given us. What a joy that we could study this today on Book, Chapter, and Verse.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.